say that little twist in terms of drush, that's another story, but there are many achrayim who understood that two mitzvahs that really have to be understood as a package deal. Like the mitzvah of eating an Yom Kippur is really almost like a preparation for the mitzvah of fasting Yom Kippur. And other achrayim say, there are two different halachas. One is a mitzvah schema, one is a mitzvah sachim. It happens to be one day after the other, but the two have nothing to do with one another. Why in the world would there be a mitzvah sachim? Like, may it taste there should be a mitzvah sachim? So again, in halacha it doesn't say, but in drush, one could argue that maybe the reason why there's an idea of a mitzvah sachim and a Yom Kippur is because Yom Kippur is also a little bit of a zman simcha, particularly because Yom Kippur is a zman of Kabbalah Satorah. Gemara tells us that ultimately the Kabbalah Satorah that we have today is really from Yom Kippur. The Luchos Rishonos were broken. The Gemara says in the sixth Pesachim that whenever you have a day of Kabbalah Satorah, so you have to make a special party. That's what Gemara says, that the celebration, the Simchas of Yom Shavuos is on a higher level than the other Yom Tovim, because Shavuos is Yom Shavuos of Torah of Israel. So Yom Tov is a regular Mechayev of a Simcha, and then we have a Yom Tov, which is a Simcha of Yom Kabbalah Satorah. So Kabbalah Satorah is a separate independent Mechayev of a Simcha, and therefore Shavuos has almost two aspects to it. That's what Gemara says, that Rav Yosef used to make the fanciest meals on Shavuos. The Gemara says Rav Yosef would make an egg with tilsa, would make a third calf. It's the question what that means exactly. It's the third animal that's born is somehow the fattest animal, or maybe some other reason, whatever egg with tilsa means, whatever it means. Rav Yosef would make the most kishmak fleshing meal on Shavuos. Apparently he wasn't eating Shavuos. So he held that the most fanciest fleshing meal has to be dafka on Shavuos. And the Gemara says Yom Shavuot Torah Yisrael. So maybe one can, there are those who say there's a Ksav Sefer that says that's the reason why you have to have a Purim Suda. He says, well, you have Purim Suda just to celebrate the Neis of Purim. Okay, that's nice, that's a nice thing. So he says that that's not the whole story. That the reason why Chazal Mesatim and Mishnah Simcha is not just to celebrate the Neis of Purim, but to celebrate the fact that Purim is a Kabbalah Satorah. The Gemara says also in Maseches Megillah that Kimu v'Kiblu, that Kimu Mashkibu Shvar, that Chazal Mekabel, the Klaiz will Mekabel the Torah again in the days of Achashverosh. In the days of Shavuos, they were Mekabel with Kofta Mark and Gigas. In the days of Purim, they were Mekabel with Meiratzon. So Purim also has the status a little bit of a Zman of Kabbalah Satorah. So the Ksav Sofer says that's the reason why you have a Purim Siddur. You want to celebrate not so much the Nisim, but to celebrate the fact that it's a Zman of Kabbalah Satorah. And he says that's the reason why Chazal Mesachim Mishloach Manos. What do I have to give part of my Siddur to somebody else? You want to be a nice guy? Be a nice guy. But like Mech Teisah, there's a Takwana. We don't find on Pesach, you have to give your Siddur to somebody else. We don't find on Mashmir and Teres, you have to give your Siddur to somebody else. There's a mitzvah, Sameach, and Niyel, and Yisrael, and Amanos. Okay, that's a regular mitzvah. That's an important mitzvah in Yom Tov also. But okay, here they have to walk around and give my friends some of my Amatash. So that's a very, very strange thing. So if he writes, and he thinks that also emanates from the fact that it's a celebration of Kabbalah Satorah, because one could argue that when you see a person eating and drinking on Purim, so maybe he's miserable that he received the Torah. It means it's such a terrible thing, so he's trying to forget all his woes. Some people, when they get all upset, so never, some people want to drink, and some people overeat, and they do all kind of terrible things. So you see a guy having a big meal and drinking on Purim, so not that he's drinking too much, but a little drop that he's drinking up he did, that Revius maybe made Kershi that he's making for drinking on Purim, so you would think that maybe he's doing it just because he's depressed, he's trying to just get rid of all his woes. So the Tzaddik Safsefer, the litmus test, how do you know whether a person is celebrating or whether a person is miserable? So the question is whether you invite other people. So when you make a simcha, the guy makes a bar mitzvah for a son, so he invites a lot of people. You make a chast, you invite people. When the person is miserable, so they want to be miserable, leave alone. They want to be the person who's drunk, he's never miserable, so he's in the street by himself. So he doesn't want to share his misery with other people. Even though there's a phrase, misery loves company. Now, I'm not sure what you say to that phrase. That's not what the Safsefer is saying. So according to Chassav Sofer, the reason why Chazal was saking to give Mishloach Manos on Purim was to highlight the fact that it's a suit of Kabbalah Satorah, and it's dafka, we're very happy, we're excited, we're joyous, overjoyous about Kabbalah Satorah. So in the world of Machshava, some suggest that maybe that's the idea of eating an Erev Yom Kippur, that since Yom Kippur is also a Zman of Kabbalah Satorah, it would really be a shame to miss out the celebration of Kabbalah Satorah. You can't celebrate Yom Kippur itself, you're not allowed to eat Yom Kippur, so of course you have to say that the Simcha is before Yom Kippur. So again, those are two different nuances in the world of halacha / machshava. What exactly is the nature of this mitzvah of eating Yom Kippur? Is it Yom Kippur oriented, or is it really a mitzvah to answer?
According to that second option, then why do we have the idea that it's considered the fast twice by Yom Kippur? It's like just the year of Shavuot for the Torah, nothing to do with Yom Kippur itself.
No, so it's just like a lashon melitzah to saying that you get tzchar. I would have thought that to get tzchar for a mitzvah of eating, that you don't get so much tzchar for that because it's so easy to do. So nobody sells from Tzar Agra. So here the Torah is giving you a freebie and saying that you did a mitzvah, we're going to give you a super duper bonus. We're going to give you a schar, even though the mitzvah was a very easy one. Gemara has a lashon kilus anet shi be'asiri. I was once invited to a pidyon aven that was supposed to be in Yom Kippur, but it was nidchet till Motzei Yom Kippur. So something around, they say that eating a pidyon aven is connected to 84 tainios because of the teidal of the pidyon. So somehow that's mechaper for 84 tainios. So I remember I came back from pidyon aven and then I told my wife that I must have lost a lot of weight the last 3 days because I just fasted 86 times in the last 3 days. 84 for eating in a pidyon aven, one for fasting in Yom Kippur, one for eating in Yom Kippur. So that's it. I don't think the calories matched up to that, but that was my mom's answer. I don't think she appreciated it as much as I did. But anyway, getting back to the story. So are there enough communities in Medina?
According to the Sefer, why don't we have Mitzvot Matan Shavuos?
Okay, because I guess because Shavuos we weren't so happy about it, wasn't there? So Purim is to highlight the fact that we went from Kippur Margiyus to Ratzon, so you have to highlight the Dafkum from that. Drush, I wish you well, Drush. Okay. Get back to the world of Allah.
According to the Akron and behold that eating and fasting is one package deal. If one is not able to fast,
So the question is, does any of this mean anything about Allah? It's just not in the belt around the world of Drush. So the Akronim write that there's a very, very real left community Ladina in the shadow. Do we view eating a very Yom Kippur through the eyes of fasting in Yom Kippur? Or do we view it as a separate independent mitzvah? So one of the famous left communities would be, what if you have an individual who's not going to fast tomorrow? He's a chayla. He's a chol sheish b'sekana. He knows already tomorrow. The doctor's told him not to fast the chol. He's not going to be pachas because he's going to eat regular 3 meals a day tomorrow in Yom Kippur. So does he have any inyan to be marv b'sud? Does he have any mitzvah to be marv b'sud or not? So some achavarim write, no, that if he knows for a fact he's not fasting tomorrow, so many days he has a mitzvah to be marv today. And the other achavarim say, no, the two mitzvahs don't do with each other. Just because you lose one mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean you lose the other mitzvah. Remember, several years ago, my father was still alive. So, 1 year, at the very end of his life, he wasn't allowed to fast. Medical problems, he wasn't allowed to fast before Yom Kippur. So, in the shul that he's been having in, so right after Yom Kippur was over, they would have like, right after the Maariv, they would have like a little breakfast. They would serve some cake and juice and something to give people a little something right after Adali, before they would go home to eat their regular suda. So, I remember my father would go to that breakfast. Even though he had been eating all day, for my height. So I remember I gave a lot of the Shavuot. Remember when I was sitting Shivas, I told over the story. I said I gave a lot of the Shavuot when my father was not to go to breakfast. I said that whether or not he was chayiv in Erev Yom Kippur, it's not mechuyev. He's a chayiv. So mechuyev hold, but you're not chayiv. You're not the first. Why not mechuyev? But the eating on Matzah Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the fasting Yom Kippur. That's a different world of Gamre. The eating on Matzah Yom Kippur is a celebration of the Baskol that comes out in a Shemayim that says lechachol lachmecha. The Gemara says that the Baskol comes out. Sfarim say the Baskol comes out. He's put the blood. So the Baskol comes out on Matzoy Yom Kippur. That announces that the Rebbe was bechab before Yom Kippur. That's a Gemalik celebration. So we're so happy. So that's what's considered to be a Sudas Mitzvah. Eating on Matzoy Yom Kippur is considered to be again a Sudas Mitzvah. To such an extent that Tosfos writes in the end of Masechet Yuma that the Gemara says that this Machlekes. When the right time to daven Ila is, whether he's supposed to daven Ila maybe El Yom, or he's supposed to daven Ila Balayla. So the Gemara says that if you hold that Tfilas to Ila is supposed to be like, we pass because maybe El Yom, if you hold, and we go into the land, also we hold the episode Ila maybe El Yom. Because one day in the Gemara it says Tfilas to Ila is Matzah Yom Kippur. It's after the Losh Arbor, and that's what this man is. So the Gemara says that if you hold that Tfilas to Ila is Balayla, then it's called Teresh El Ma'irif. And you also daven Ma'ariv that night. Those shuls that don't daven Ma'ariv, people run out right after the Yeshua, but they only daven there. So the Gemara says, if you hold that, then the Ila is Malayla, so then it feels the Ila is Shemaneh Esrei, so the Tat is Ma'ariv, so you talk, you can also daven, you have to say Kriya Shemaneh, real Kriya Shemaneh, you also daven Shemaneh Esrei, so this feels the Ila is Pateras. The Gemara says that statement, that Tfilos the Ila Malayla is Pateras Shom Arbis, that's only true if you hold that Tfilos Arbis is a Chayva. If you hold that Tfilos Arbis is a Rishos, so then you don't even need Tfilos the Ila to be Pateras, it's Father anyway. He says, you never have to have Ma'ariv, but any night you don't have to have Ma'ariv. So the Gemara at the very end of the Sefer Yuma says that if you hold Tfilas the Ila is by Yom, like we pass it, this is a moot discussion. If you hold the Tfilas and the Ila is by Laila, so then the Gemara says that if you hold Tfilas and the Iris is a Chayfas, then you need a Poiter, so the Ila is a Poiteris. If you hold that Tfilas Iris is a Rishus, then you don't need a Poiteris. So Tosfos on the spot here says, Tosfos says, what do you mean that if you hold Tfilas Iris is a Rishus, you don't need a Poiteris? Tosfos proves you in Brachis. That Tfilas Arbis Rishus doesn't mean you stop going after Davin. Tefillah daven shushus means that if you have some other pressing need, then you don't have to daven. But if you don't have any pressing need, of course you have to daven. So what does the Gemara say? If you hold that tefillah daven is a rishus, then I don't need to be the prophet, it's obviously potter. What's the pressing need? Not that daven matter. So Tosfos quotes this medrash. Tosfos says the pressing need is you got to go home to eat your suda. It's a big suda's mitzvah. It's not a joke. Eating mitzvah is a big deal because it's a celebration of the tefillah daven. So that's type of suda's mitzvah. So Tosfos writes that would have been enough a reason not daven matter. So Tosfos writes that Lamaisi would have daven matter if you hold the tefillah daven is rishus. We pass in the end of that number rishus. But if you really, really hold tefillah daven is rishus, then I don't even need to eat with the potter. I don't have to daven because I don't have to daven because I'm busy doing other mitzvahs. More important mitzvahs like a mitzvah eating. There's always a limit chus. I remember when I was a little boy, so we used to daven in a small shul. And a lot of people who daven, they weren't for a b'chal. They came Rosh Hashanah, they didn't come the rest of the year. So the second shofar happened, it was a mass exodus. Everybody left. I remember my father and 10 other men were hanging around the daven Meir on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. 90% of the shul were out the door. So they held like the taisvus. They held. They were so running to go fulfill the mitzvah of eating on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So they didn't have to bother davening. I can't say what they say. Krish, but not daven. Anyway, we're going to the story. So I said this. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur, so if you're a chayla, maybe you don't have to eat, but eating on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, what do you have to do? Even if you're a chol sheyesh b'sakon, you still get mechilas avonis. Well, mechilas avonis is not just because you fulfilled the mitzvah of tainus, if you bought the tainus, you get mechilas avonis also. So that's what that was my vort, my father's hanhoga. That an Erev Yom Kippur, maybe he was marvin, maybe he wasn't marvin, that I can't tell you. But Mitzvah Yom Kippur, what do you have to be marvin b'suda? Even if you're sick all day, even if you eat all your meals all day, still, you have to eat, you have to Yom Kippur to celebrate the fact, get mechilas avonis, yeah.
I was just wondering, being in a Suda Mitzvah, would that mean maybe like bring about a theme of Lecha Mishnah?
No, Lecha Mishnah is only a demon that's a Zeichel Amon, so that's what I mean, it's like, it's a Malach.
Or you bread at all?
What would you have to bread? That's a general question. Whenever you have these Suda Mitzvahs that are not Shabbos Yom Tov oriented, is there automatically a requirement to wash any type of Suda Mitzvah? You go to a Bar Mitzvah, you have to wash, you go to a Siyam, you have to wash, you go to a Chas, you have to wash, you go to a Brit. Is that true? Or no, that's called a Suda, we're not washing. That's the Machlok, the Zeichel Amon. This would probably be the same
result.
Anyway, again, so getting back to the story. So when it comes to eating on Erev Yom Kippur, we're still not sure, is this Yom Kippur oriented or is it a mitzvah b'pnei atzmah, the first afternoon of the day, what's the din of a person who's sick? Then the achronim of another nefkamina, what's the din about a woman? Would a woman be obligated this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? So if you hold it's part of the mitzvah of fasting Yom Kippur, women are chayavos in fasting, and not let eat on Yom Kippur. So losa says, but other women are chayavos in fasting on Yom Kippur, so they would be obligated this mitzvah as well. If you hold it, it's a mitzvah if they aren't smart, so then maybe one can argue it's mitzvah, so she's not grown. You can only do this mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, so then maybe women would not be obligated. So there's a void. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's also from the Ksav Sarif. The Ksav Sarif is the one there, not there. I think the Ksav Sarif is the one who says that if you have a woman who's sick, the Marashah, she does not feed Erev Yom Kippur. Because why? Because if the nature of the mitzvah is achar of Yom Kippur, if you're sick, you're potter. If the nature of the mitzvah is a mitzvah for the answer, then you're Ptura because you're a woman. So we're not sure what the answer to the question is of the Ksav Sefer, but when we have both combinations together, then the Maro Shach is the famous Pesach, I'm not mistaken, because of the Ksav Sefer. There is another question that Boskim just have related, the idea of fasting on Erev Yom Kippur, eating on Erev Yom Kippur, fasting on Yom Kippur is, as a Sovi that the Chaschinach raises, he says that when it comes to the Isra of eating on Yom Kippur, the Iker Shir is Kippur Sevis. But if a person eats less than the size of a large date, so he's technically potter. Chatz shiros b'torah, but in terms of the type of chorus, he didn't really violate the isser of inui. So the shiur usually for achil is kedayis. Normally the lachor sini is the shiur is kedayis, and this is different. Why is this different? Because the Gemara explains in Yubim, it doesn't say achil, but it says inui, so inui has a different shiur. So the Chaschinuch wants to know, what would the din be if a person eats on Erev Yom Kippur, didn't eat a kesevis, he ate a kedayis, didn't eat a kesevis, so would he be yaitzid in that? So maybe the two mitzvahs are so linked to one another that just as the shear of Kesevus is the determining shear when it comes to the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur, maybe that turns around and becomes the determining shear when it comes to eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Or maybe no, maybe they're not two in with each other. One's a din inui, one's a din celebration of Kabbalah Sefer, maybe that's goes with the regular rules of Achila, so it's also not clear. This idea that the Chaschinuch is working with is almost like a certain shear that you have to eat in order to fulfill this mitzvah. So this seems to be in contrast to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim seems to understand that the mitzvah achilu shi'an Erev Yom Kippur is not like a mitzvah achilu. It's not like the erev techel matzah, you have to be kezayis, and that's it. Reb Chaim understood you have to be the kolamadur is meshubach, you have to be marbe b'achilu shi'an, that's losh le'gemar. It's called a marbe b'achilu shi'an. So it's not pshat that you say that a'edi kezayis ach ben yotze, a'edi kezayis ach ben yotze. The mitzvah is as much as you can. It's supposed to be keep on eating, you don't get yourself sick. But the more you marvel, the achilah shtiyah, that's considered to be the mitzvah. That's what they quote from Chaim, that he used to be not to put candy in his mouth all day on Erev Yom Kippur, because he felt that the more, as long as he was still eating a little bit, he was still eating a little bit, so that's more for participation in his mitzvah. The Minhag HaOlam, most people don't do that. Most people just have a nice meal and Yom Kippur and call it a day. So they seem to be working with the idea that the mitzvah is supposed to have a suda, and whatever the suda is, make a nice suda, marnech, lishti, and finish. And there's no mitzvah to spend all 14 hours, or whatever it is, or 24 hours, whatever you think the amount of time is, in the state of a chiddush. So again, you have a lot of these shilohs, a very, very unclear mitzvah. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, the Gemara quotes the Din, the Pashas, the Din, and the Torah, but the very nature of the mitzvah is very, very vague. It's not explained really, you show you very well what exactly the nature of this mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch is really unclear. The Levi Acharonim have all these different tools, and they'll pull them about what the parameters of this mitzvah are. There is another famous shayla that read may have arrived from the Gemara. The Gemara claims it's arrived from the Gemara to this. It's unclear when exactly this mitzvah begins. So the Gemara says Erev Yom Kippur, but Erev Yom Kippur means two different things. If you define Erev Yom Kippur as the halachic day of Erev Yom Kippur, so then Erev Yom Kippur starts the night before. If you hold that Erev Yom Kippur just means what we colloquially call as Erev Yom Kippur in the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, then maybe it only starts in the morning. So it's not clear exactly what the nature of this mitzvah is. Some want to connect this to the sechir also. Some want to argue that if it's a chana for Yom Kippur, so then it's hard to leave my eating the night before is going to help me. So maybe it wouldn't begin until the daylight time. If you hold it, it's almost like a simchas hayyim, it's like a celebration. There's a new Yom Kippur called the Yom Kippur of Yom Kippur, and Yom Tov, a 24-hour Yom Tov. So maybe it would start like that. But some want to argue maybe it's still part of the same chakira. So the Gra had it claims he has arrived at the Gemara, the universe has ksubas, that it does not start the night before. And again, not everyone agrees to that. It's usually said over that this machlek is a late rechorenim, whether the mitzvah begins the night before or not, is responsible for the two different hagim that the Ramah quotes vis-a-vis slichas in Erev Yom Kippur. The Ramah quotes two practices in Erev Yom Kippur. What do you say, long slichas or short slichas? So most of us are familiar with the practice in short slichas, but the Yakis, they still say long slichas. They say the longest difference in Erev Yom Kippur is not Shemir Rosh Hashanah. I remember when I was a Rav in Paramus for a couple of years, and they had some new Hagim was still Yakshim Hagim, this minute they still had. So they used to say long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. So I remember I felt bad. I don't say long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur, so I felt bad. The Rav and not to come slichas, not nice. I used to come and stand there, and I stand facing the Yerkam, so no one knew what I was doing. So I was doing. So I didn't say the whole Nesach of Yisrael, because I wasn't going to say such long slichas. Why would one not say is there anything wrong, so to speak, with saying long slichas? So the Acharonim explained that there may be something problematic in saying long slichas. This is a throwback to what exactly the status of the night of Erev Yom Kippur is all about. Slichas traditionally was said at night. The Rambam quotes, it's supposed to be said b'ashmar sabayka. It's not shachmar quotes b'ashmar sabayka, supposed to be said in the middle of the night, the slichas. So different opinions exactly when the middle of the night ends. Some say it ends at alel, some ends at night. So there's different nuances. But everybody agrees that the proper time for slichas is basically in the night time, the second half of the night, the latter part of the night. The fact that some shuls, some yeshivas say slichas at 8 o'clock in the morning, so that's because people are hard for them to get up. So the yeshivas feel they don't want to mess up the bachum starim, so they say slichas at the wrong time. But the correct time to say slichas is really at night time. The poskim say, simen dat slichas, the poskim say not even the whole night, you're only supposed to say slichas at the chatzos. Because before Chatzos is Zman Din, you're not supposed to say Slichas, it's Zman Din, so it's supposed to say Zman Rachamim. So the Sperm of Kedoshim, they explained that the first half of the night is Din, the second half is Rachamim. So it's not right to say Slichas in the first half of the night. But Moshe was asking Shaila, he said, what if you have a community where the people are older and it's not safe outside and no one's going to come to Slichas? So people are not going to come first. I said, no one's going to come at 1 o'clock in the morning. So Moshe writes to Shazam HaGol, no one's going to come. So what are you going to do? So you have to give a little taste of Slichas. They give Slichas at 10 o'clock at night, Nebuch. He writes, but it's not really slichas. This is supposed to be dafka b'ashmar sabayka. So it's a strange thing that people who are b'chashon very, very healthy, people are up anyway. They can come at 6 in the morning, or they're up anyway till 1 o'clock in the morning, the 6 slichas at 10 o'clock at night. So it doesn't seem to fit into the pattern of what the poskim described, the optimal time to recite slichas is all about. But again, the correct time system is a sometime halakhah, it's still night, quasi night, or late, something along those lines. Now we understand that when we explain why there are some communities that the practice not to say long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because if you hold it in Yom Kippur as a Yom Tov, even the night before is already a Yom Tov, on a Yom Tov you don't say long slichas, and Yom Tov you makaz it slichas. You want people to go enjoy the Yom Tov, to sit and eat and drink, that's what we say long slichas. So if you hold that the simchas a Yom, the celebration of the Yom, the Chilush Tiyon begins in the daytime, so then I understand the practice of the Yom Tov, that they say slichas at night, and at night it's not yet the Zman. Problem is that they probably say still in the daytime anyway, but the act is even though the whole thing doesn't fit. But again, I'm admitting most of our communities is that we say short stint in Yom Kippur. And the reason, the original reason for that was is because since it's a man of a chilush tia, so we want to minimize the amount of time people adapting, we want to spend more time focusing on the simple sayyam on the chilush tia, even though it's already, even though it's only the night time. Poskim pointed out that according to that cheshbon on the mincha before every Yom Kippur, you really shouldn't say tachna. We have a rule in Sivit Matachron that any yom that's a yom simcha we don't say tachron, and the mincha before we don't say tachron. Also, if it's a yom simcha already the night before, so let's say Rosh Chodesh, so the celebration of Rosh Chodesh already begins the night before. Chanukah, Purim, all these days already begin night. The night is already considered to be the full-fledged Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, so we refrain from saying tachron the mincha before. If you have a day that there's nothing really at night, nothing's really happening at night time, so that doesn't make any sense to leave out the tachron the day before. That's why you have chalukim in home. Like Ba'omer is a little bit tricky. If you say tachron the mincha before, like Ba'omer, that's the two different numbers about that. So the later post can discuss, is it appropriate to say tachron and the mincha before every Yom Kippur? So it depends on the shayla. If you say short slichos, so you hold that the night is really zman simcha, so it would be appropriate not to say tachron the mincha before. If you say long sleepless, then you know the night is really nothing. So the night is nothing, then you should say tachron. So we have a little bit of a spirit on the talk. The more popular minhag as banaza is that we don't say long sleepless. So we're opting in the direction that there really is already a simcha a little bit at night. We get the minhag is that we do say tachron the minhag before. Most communities say tachron the minhag before Yom Kippur. So in terms of pure long, this doesn't seem to fit in. Again, back to the story. So this is a running shayla in the world of the Talmud Poskim. And again, it all starts with that Gemara B'Sefer Chashash. That drasha that the Gemara has, the Tishlo Chodesh Be'er, is only one of the two drashas that appears in the Gemara B'Sefer Chashash. The Gemara has an entirely different drasha about the Tishlo Chodesh Be'er. And the Gemara says that maybe the reason why the Torah writes Tishlo Chodesh Be'er is to teach by a different God. Maybe it's to teach by that you're supposed to begin Yom Kippur by Tishlo Chodesh. You're supposed to start the fast a little bit early. You're supposed to be mostly B'chol HaKodesh. Why is a different part of Moshe? Maybe that's the meaning of this pasuk. Couldn't be every pasuk. Both are true. So that second drasha that the Gemara has, the kash specifically called a kodesh, you have to begin to fast maybe on Yom. So the Gemara then goes on to question that. The Gemara says, so I know that you have to fast maybe on Yom. So it says, the tishim lachodesh be'er tishim l'shabatchem. So it says, v'yis v'zach shosechem v'tishim lachodesh. So I know that you have to fast. How do you know you have to refrain from a lachem maybe on Yom? So the Gemara says that you have to refrain from a lachem maybe on Yom. It says tishim l'shabatchem. And then the Gemara says, how do you know that carries over to Shabbos? Because it says Tishbe B'Shevatchem. And how do you know it carries over to Yom Kippur? Because it says Tishbe B'Shevatchem. Shabbos and Yom Kippur, all the same thing. So the Gemara says, Mikan, from here we derive that Bein B'Shabbos, Bein Yom Kippur, 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 Yom Kippur, any and every time there's a mitzvah of being shoveis, the Kedushas Hayom, from Achiva, from Shtia, from Malach, whatever the mitzvah of Shvisa is, so you have to be mostly B'chol HaKodesh, Bein B'Chnisasa, Bein B'Tziyasa. Because it says be'erev ad erev, so you have to start maybe on Yom before the erev, and you have to end after the erev is over under the night of Yidalef of Tishrei. So that's what the Gemara concludes. When all the dust settles, there's a mitzvah mikash v'sivu chol kodesh across the border. That's the simple way to get it. The problem is that when the Rambam quotes this Gemara in the beginning of the Mishnah, also the Rambam only quotes a very very small part of this Gemara. The Rambam writes, you have to start fasting maybe on Yom, you have to start refraining from eating and drinking maybe on Yom. But the Rambam doesn't say a word about refraining from the Lacham Nibi Al Yom on Yom Kippur itself. You get the impression of the Rambam that the guy is driving his car to Kol Nivrei, and he's driving up until the buzzer, up until Shkia. So he's not eating anymore, that's okay. So he's in the car, as long as he's not eating, that's called Mosif B'chol HaKadosh. The Rambam never said he has to be Mosif eating the Lacham. The Gemara says the Rambam left it out. And to make matters even more complicated, the Rambam never in Hichu Shabbos or Hichu Yotif calls his Dinlik Av Shabbos and Yotif. The Rambam never says you have to stop doing the Lacham on any Shabbos early. Rambam says, maybe you have to stop any Yom Tov early. There's no difference with Sefer Bechlal. Baby Shabbos, baby Yom Tov. Even on Yom Kippur, the one place where the Rambam quotes it is only Agave Inud. So the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara. The Rambam seems to be with the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk that says it by Inud. It says, the Nisim is Asher Sechem, the Tishnah is Asher Be'erev. So the Rambam is like the Havamin of the Brais. That's only by Inud, but the Rambam left out the Moskot of Agave Moloch and left it out Agave Shabbos and Yom Tov. So this led the Vilna Gaon to believe that the Rambam may have held that this price is not agreed upon by everybody, that there may be other things in the Rambam hold, that yes, there's the mitzvah Tosefes in Yom Kippur, but no, there's no mitzvah Tosefes on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And even in Yom Kippur, there's mitzvah Tosefes on Melacha, only the Gabi Inui. So even though in Rosh Hashanah such an opinion does not appear, And the Gaon claims that the Rambam must have held somewhere in Shas. There must be some other dissenting view. And the Rambam believed that we passed like that dissenting view. Who made up such a dissenting view? So hopefully we'll have to see next week. Mitzvah, we'll talk a little bit about the Shittas of Rambam, about the Tosefos Yom Kippurim, how the Rambam is radically different from other Rishonim in terms of the Tosefos Yom Kippurim, and therefore by extension, in terms of Tosefos, the lack thereof for Shabbos and Yom Tov. We'll have to find the missing link. What is that phantom source that the Rambam is relying on? And how does this impact us? This becomes a very, very real Shia Lachon Maisa, both in terms of Kippur as well as in the Shabbos and Yom Tov. We're continuing to move the same theme that we said last week. But even though we all learned the sukkahs of Yom Kippur, but we're going to try to keep as much as we can as it relates to other areas of halacha. So this machlokes, the Rambam, the Rishon, the Rambam, the Gemara, really, is almost going to have, it's going to have serious impact upon many, many other shadows throughout the course of the year. So let's see next.
Thank you.